producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
One thing I wanted to ask here, because we like to do these inevitable comparisons between American ufology, which is a mess, and how it works in Sweden, Klossfond, and that is things like government secrecy, and it doesn't seem like there's an awful lot of that, and so-called men in black, people who run around doing all sorts of mischief with regard to witnesses of UFOs and other paranormal events. Do you have men in black in Sweden?
Not really. We do have maybe a few observations through the years, and I'm not really sure about them, if they are bona fide observations or are just some people telling stories. I mean, I'm quite often in England and doing UFO stuff there, and there you can find quite a lot of men in black observations. Denmark, no, not really. Finland, Norway, no, not really. It's not a Scandinavian thing at all. It's more of an Anglo-Saxon thing, I think.
Well, of course, we have an argument here in the U.S. whether men in black represent some sort of government intervention, or they are themselves paranormal creatures. And one of our American researchers, who's originally from the U.K., Nick Redfern, you probably know who he is.
Yeah.
He wrote a piece reviewing the new book by Dr. David Jacobs about so-called hybrid aliens, and he likens them in descriptions to possible men in black, that men in black might be hybrid aliens. But let me ask you that question, too, because unfortunately it's consumed a lot of the Paracast in the last couple of weeks. Do you believe that if there is an ET that is visiting us, that maybe they are among us, or is that just too paranoid to contemplate?
I read Nick Redfern's book about Men in Black, and he has quite a lot of interesting cases in his book. That said, we do have reports from Swedes that think that they are aliens. I mean, that they are here on Earth because they were placed here by some other outside force. I am in contact with, say, 50 or 60 persons that are sending me letters or emails, and they think that they are in contact, or themselves, hybrids or ETs. So, yeah, some people think that they are here and they are a part of it themselves. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the evidence yet, but I keep an open door, of course. I mean, if they are showing them on my footstep here, thanks. You're welcome.
Yeah. That would be a little scary. Unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of that here in the U.S., and that always makes me kind of take a big step back and start wondering about a person's sanity. I'm just that's the way I am. But at the same time, you can't be too judgmental because you may be throwing the baby out with the bathwater, as they say.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the ghost rockets real quick, Klaus. I think it's important for our new listeners to have a good understanding of how this particular wave, which is very, kind of sits alone. We don't really have a corollary type of wave anywhere else, to my knowledge, except maybe the Great Airship Wave in the 1896-97 period. Why don't you give us a sense of how the whole wave began, where our first cases were, and then how it progressed through the year, and then spread to the Mediterranean. I mean, we even had reports from down there. Give us a sense of the actual kind of nuts and bolts of how this whole thing unfolded.
You could say it started in the very early days of 1946 in January and up in February. People seeing lights in the sky. Most of them we can see now. It was probably meteors and planets and stuff like that. But the reports, they still ended up in March, April, more lights in the sky. But in May, something changed. I think it was May 28th, the first headline in the Swedish newspaper with the headline Ghost Rocket. in it. The word ghost rocket were used for the first time. And after that, people did see craft, you should say. I mean, they were really nothing at all like lights in the sky, flying over Sweden in broad daylight. And in July the 6th, the military decided to create a ghost rocket committee to deal with those observations. And the committee worked for half a year. They interviewed people. They went out to search in the lakes. And in their case files, more than 1,000 witnesses are named. So they put in tremendous amount of effort trying to find an answer to all this. And on July the 19th, four different rockets crashed in lakes within a couple of hours in different parts of Sweden, mostly in the northern part of Sweden. And at that time, you didn't have mobile telephones. It was not on the radio. It was not in the newspapers the same evening. So they were seeing those crashes independently of each other, four crashes, and the military spent weeks trying to find the answer to that. When August came, a military pilot chased one of those ghost rockets together with his co-pilot, and I could see it for a couple of minutes. I've spoken to the pilot many, many times, and he was trying to chase it, but he was outflown by it, as it usually is when it comes to UFOs. And these observations still came to the military, were reported to the military up in October. But in October, November, it really ended. And in December, the Swedish military published a report telling that this was something real. This was something that had crashed. It was not just astronomical misidentifications. It was someone trying to pinpoint Sweden in some way they didn't understand.
Well, let me ask a quick question. Were there reports of these objects actually performing turns, using some sort of avoidance flight patterns, or are these just straight trajectory flight paths, like you would imagine a missile or a rocket? Do we have any sense of these things having some sort of remote control or intelligent control, where they're trying to evade fighters, making turns, that sort of thing?
There are a couple of observations where people have seen those rockets turning nearly 90 degrees, turning corners, if you say so. The Swedish pilot who tried to chase this rocket, that rocket did just fly straight into a storm area, an area that the pilot had tried to avoid because it was dangerous to fly into. But the rocket flew straight into this storm area. Those ones crashing into lakes usually went like a ballistic missile crashing straight into the lake. But, as you may know, UFO Sweden are now trying to find one of those ghost rockets from 1980. Because they are still coming.
That's the one question I wanted to pursue at this point, because we want to get into that documentary you folks have produced. And that is, this is not something that began and ended in World War II. It goes on to the present day. And I'm going to ask you for a quick answer, because we have about a minute before we have to do our break. But this is something that is an ongoing phenomenon, correct?
Correct. It is. And people are seeing the same modus operandi from them today. They are still flying in daylight. They are still crashing into lakes. The military have been trying to find them in those lakes a couple of times, but they have not found anything.
Now, this is something I want to ask you about for our next segment, and that is, why do you think if we have physical aircraft physically crashing into a physical lake, we can't find the debris? Hold off that answer. We'll have you do it in the next segment. Please check out plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Learn how to get our exclusive podcast called After the Paracast, the ad-free version of this show, more features to come when you join Paracast Plus. Membership start at $5 a month. We also have lifetime memberships, free ebooks, and more. Plus.theparacast.com. Klaus Sven is joining us. We're pursuing the Ghost Rockets. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't pick on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zero. Out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
You wouldn't go swim with the sharks without a cage, would you?
Hey, have you seen Larry?
It's in our nature to protect ourselves, especially when protection is simple and affordable. That's why IDStronghold.com has been providing affordable RFID protection for over 10 years. ID Stronghold wallets protect you from electronic pickpockets who pass near you with a scanner and steal your credit and debit card info, as well as data from other cards containing RFID chips. IDStronghold.com, the original maker of shielded wallets, is a technology company, so we understand how to best protect you against intrusive radio waves. ID Stronghold wallets are designed to block RFID signals, open or close, no matter where in the wallet you put your cards. Most other RFID wallets on the market were designed with only fashion in mind and don't shield properly, if at all. If you're shopping for your next wallet, be sure to get the protection you deserve by going to IDStronghold.com, because getting anything else is like being the next victim in a Jaws movie.
It's time to kick some ash, because cigarettes have met their match. Smokers are switching to Vapriot e-liquid by LeSig, because when you kick ash, you kick tar and smelly smoke too. LeSig smokes the competition with real people customer service, a 7-day satisfaction guarantee, and same-day fast free shipping. Become a vapor today at LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes, kick some ash.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So let's check into that question. Why do you think, Klaus Vaughn, we can't find any wreckage, but we're seeing them crash? What's going on here?
Yeah. You really cannot understand what's going on. When one of the V bombs, Hitler's vengeance weapons crashed in 1944 on Swedish soil. You could find 2,200 kilos of debris. Loads of it. And just 2 years after that, less than 2 years after that, the Ghost Rocket Wave starts, and the crash is nothing. They found nothing at all. And that is the mystery. That's one of the things that keep me ticking and wondering what is really behind this. I don't have the answer, but it's a big, big question mark. And it's something that you really cannot see any easy answer to at this moment.
Isn't that weird? Let me ask you something else here, and this raises the red herring in the room. Now, there is a book that came out a couple of years back by a former international director of MUFON by the name of James Carrion called The Rosetta Deception. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah.
Okay. The theory being that this was just a U.S. intelligence trick to scam the Russians, spook the Russians, that sort of thing. Never really happened. And obviously, if it's still going on, that certainly raises a big question mark there. What's your opinion about the book?
I don't think it was U.S. deception at all. The U.S. was, at that time, very much interested in the ghost rockets, as the British. We have found documents both in Washington and in London where you can see this huge interest from both sides to try to find out what really was behind the ghost rockets. They didn't know. It's impossible to see how a deception like that could have been orchestrated. It was happening all around Sweden, Finland, and Norway in small, small communities. People who really had big problems to be affected by any notions from the U.S. They really saw what they saw, and they heard what they heard. So no, I don't think it's like that at all. This is something quite different. But what? I don't have the answer to that.
It's interesting here that Carrion and his research uncovered all sorts of government documents that seemed to indicate they were pulling some kind of stunt. Is it possible they were merely taking advantage of ghost rockets?
In 1946, the war was over. The V-bombs were transported to America or into the Soviet Union at that time. I'm not sure really what they could benefit from it, except trying to make Sweden closer to NATO or to the U.S. I mean, Sweden was really quite close to the U.S. at that time. I cannot see the benefits from it, really.
So it was just, well, a theory that didn't pan out.
No, not to me. I mean, I can't see anything, any of those traces found in the Swedish archives. We will soon publish all of the Swedish War Archive ghost rocket documents online in English. They will be translated for the first time in history. So probably before the end of the year or around the new year, we will publish them. And people can visit this website for free. They can read. They can try to help us find patterns, solutions, new questions. They could write and they could deal with the documents in a way that may be giving us some clue to what really happened.
Just a parenthetical question here. Now, I don't say I know everything or much of anything, and I don't play an expert on TV either. But before I heard about your documentary and your research, I was under the impression, as most of us are in the States, we're the colonies, as they call us in the UK, that the ghost rockets happened to be a series of events that occurred during World War II. And now you're telling us this is an ongoing thing. We're still seeing them. Why is it that that information hasn't filtered across the Atlantic?
It's very important to say that ghost rockets started in 1946, after the World War. There were no observations during the World War II. You are talking about the Foo Fighters during the World War II. Completely different thing, really. So it started in 1946. And, well, I've been writing about this even in books in America. So if you have read them, you would have known it. And, of course, I've been talking about this on different talk shows and on Discovery Channel and National Geographic, whatever, a couple of times. So, I mean, if you're listening, I'm there. And we also write about this on our webpage, so it's not hidden knowledge, really. But, of course, it's not that well known. I do understand that. But I investigated so many crashes and so many observations from 1947 up until the 2000s, so I can say they are still here, in a way.
Well, can you give us a sense of how many reports have been, you know, filed down through the decades? I mean, are we looking at something that's fairly consistent or ebbs and flows?
I should say that they are scarce now today, not as many as in the 1970s, 1980s. Usually 4 or 5 observations a year, maybe in the 1950s, 60s. During the 2000s, just a few, maybe 10 or so since the year 2000. But they are still very good. They are daylight observations. They are seeing maneuvering over lakes or over wooden areas, not over cities, really. Not that many crashes.
Now, I would assume after World War II, we had gotten all this evidence of German technology and we're playing around with it, and certainly other countries might, like Russia. Is it possible at least the early Ghost rockets were test aircraft of some sort?
No, that's impossible, really. If you look at the track record from the V-bombs, the V-1 and the V-2, they were very, very difficult to give the right course. They were difficult to give the right altitude, to give the right amount of thrust. They fell all over the place, really. And most of them were launched from Holland against London, which is not very far. It's not so many miles. But now you're talking about in 1946 trajectories that must have taken them from the very north of the Baltic area up to the very north of Sweden, which is, say, 2,500 kilometers, something like that. You cannot find a technology like that at that time. But interesting is to read the Swedish military when they are speculating about the ghost rockets. They do write that they probably are monitored by TV. It's a TV camera inside them. Someone is steering them from far away. And they are also speculating they could be nuclear powered. So they really thought those were high tech, as much high tech you can think of at that time.
Sounds like drones to me, but we'll ask more about that in a moment.
Yeah.
Klaus Fun, joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey systems. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. you can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack and was told I'd be on disability for the rest of my life. What did I do? I created Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com. Onesilversolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Before we go on, you have this documentary about ghost rockets. Can you tell us about that? And then we'll get more into the possibility of ghost rocket drones.
5.5 years ago, a TV producer approached us asking if they could make a documentary about UFO Sweden. We said yes, and they have been following us for 4.5 years up until a year ago now. They planned from the beginning just to make a film about UFO Sweden. We started this project trying to find a ghost rocket that landed and sank in the lake in the very north of Sweden in 1980. So that is the really the big thing in the movie now. They are following this investigation, and it's a good movie. It's been out on documentary film festivals. It will soon be competing in the Copenhagen Film Festival. It will be broadcasted in Canada. It will be broadcasted in Denmark, in Finland, and Norway, and Sweden, of course, and probably other countries as well. So it's been very, very well received this far.
You mentioned radiation and that nuclear power may have been involved. Have any investigators detected heightened levels of radiation that would suggest some sort of nuclear component to these sightings and these subsequent crashes into lakes?
This crash, July 19th, 1946, were four different ghost rockets crashed in four different lakes within a couple of hours. At that time, the very day after the crash happened, the Swedish military sent a team trying to see if they could find a trace of nuclear waste in the lake. And they really tried hard to find any trace, but they didn't. And they never found any traces in other lakes as well. In 1980, at this Lake Namajaure, where we are trying to find this closed rocket. The Swedish military sent an helicopter, and they landed at the shore of the lake, and they found some dead fishes. And they thought the fish was killed by some radiation leak from the ghost rocket. But soon they found out it was natural causes by something quite different. And but they thought in that direction at many, many occasions during the investigation.
James Carrion's Rosetta Deception contention that there was a wave of these types of objects seen down in the Mediterranean Sea and around the areas of Southern Europe. Have you done any looking into that potential scenario? And can you equate that particular wave with anything that was going on up in Scandinavia?
There are a few reports from Greece and from Italy. Not many. And most of them are lights in the sky. A Greek investigator had gone through the newspapers from 1946 and found 30 or 40 articles, newspaper articles, about observations. But they have never been investigated by any ufologist or the military at that time didn't take witness accounts. So they are not really investigated. They are just newspaper reports, as far as I can see. And they really are not as good as the ones up in Scandinavia. You find no traces of crashes into lakes, for example.
And these are mainly nighttime sightings that have been possibly misidentified or equated to the ghost rocket sighting?
Yeah, many of them are, and of course, ghost rockets were widely covered by media all around the world, so they were very well known.
How about documentation of Jimmy Doolittle, who, of course, was one of the top generals in the Army Air Force at the time the 46-47 wave occurred? He was sent up there to investigate this whole, you know, mystery, if you will. Do you have any sort of sense of how the Swedish military, you know, responded to him arriving, saying, hey, you know, here I am, I'm the guy that bombed Tokyo. Give us a sense of how the American interest in this whole thing may have been documented locally there.
I mean, it's very much in dispute that he was here just for the ghost rockets. Probably he was here for many other causes, but the ghost rockets were one thing that he was interested in, and he took up the subject with the Swedish military at the dinner, and that's really the only occasion that I have seen documented that he asked about the ghost rockets. He didn't investigate anything. He didn't get any paperwork from the Swedish military. They were just talking over dinner. It's more like the British were much more interested. They had a standby task force ready to go to Sweden at a very, very short notice, coming here with radar equipment, trying to help us to find a solution. But they were stopped by the Swedish Prime Minister, so they never came here. They sent a couple of officers here to discuss the matter with the Swedish Air Force, but that was all. But you can see the documents in the British files that they were very, very annoyed not being able to come here. They called the Swedish Prime Minister cowardly and they didn't like his decision at all.
Well, that's unfortunate. It doesn't sound very diplomatic to me.
No, I guess
everything at the end of World War II, I mean, there was euphoria that the Nazis had been defeated. You have all sorts of social upheaval. I mean, much of Europe is in ruins. It's pretty amazing that many of these sightings were able to be documented at all, and that subsequently the newspapers in the area would mention these inexplicable, you know, aerial objects, if you will. How many sightings, can you divvy up a percentage of sightings over Sweden versus Norway versus Finland versus Denmark? Because everybody, at least to my knowledge in this country, when we think of the ghost rockets, we think kind of a generalized Scandinavia. But to my knowledge, the majority of these reports were over Sweden. How many other attendant reports were, you know, in these other surrounding countries?
You could say that at least 1,000 reports were from Sweden, if you look at the military files. But, of course, not everyone called the military, so it's much, much more. We have found so many more, so a couple of thousand, it should be in the end. Maybe a couple of hundred reports in Norway and a couple of hundred in Finland, and maybe 40 or 50 in Denmark, something like that.
Well, so a couple of thousand. Now, are these individual reports or just witnesses of events?
There is one big event in the summer seen by hundreds of people.
Right.
But I think you can say that around 700 or 800 reports are individual reports, at least from Sweden.
So individual events reported by multiple people.
Yeah.
Okay. How about further over, Finland into Western Russia? Do we have any sense that the Russians were experiencing something as well, if you go further east?
I mean, they were mocking Swedes about those ghost rockets. And
right, but do we have any idea or sense that they were actually experiencing similar events?
No, not really. We have tried to see if we can find anything from Russia, and we have been to Moscow a couple of times trying to find paperwork, but this far, really nothing.
Well, maybe, of course, Putin has it under his mattress. That's all. That's the real story.
Yeah, I mean,
there it is right there. We solved the problem. Klaus Vaughn is joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
You heard the discussions all over the radio. You couldn't believe what you were hearing. You trusted them. How could you have not seen the signs? You felt betrayed. Outrage set in. Your emotions began to consume you. Then, nothing. Now they're talking football. Days turn to weeks and months. Then, you've forgotten. But they haven't. They're still monitoring your every move. It's coming. MonitorBlockItPocket.com. Or, will you forget?
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Just want to say something here, Klaus. I have not heard of your work before we did this show. And I just really applaud your level-headed approach to the subject. We don't hear any wacky stuff, just facts, figures, trying to figure out a genuine mystery and trying to know what's going on.
Wow, coming from you, Gene, I mean, you rarely acknowledge somebody's objectivity in this subject area. So, Klaus, that was a real compliment. But we have to deal with a lot of subjective guests on the show.
Yeah, although, this is a matter that really brings out the subjective from people.
Really. I've actually equated it to the birth of a new 21st century religion or post 20th century religion. So, I mean, the whole belief thing in this this arena, it gets a little bit disturbing, I think would be a good word.
It is a very big problem for UFO research overall. The people are believing and they are trying to defend their ideas instead of investigating the subject.
And there's intellectual dishonesty where they throw out data that doesn't conform to their foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say, I've seen a lot of that, yeah.
But looking over this entire picture here, just very briefly, obviously you're investigating a phenomenon that is consistent, it's happening year after year, tons of data. Looking at all this, do you at all subscribe to the possibility this is a visitation by extraterrestrials or something else, or a mixture of different sources?
I think when it comes to UFOs, it's a mixture of different explanations. So much is happening inside people. So the witnesses are our main goal to investigate. I mean, you must really know a lot of things about psychology, witness psychology, to be able to deal with UFO observations. If you don't know that, you are out on very thin ice. I spend hours to try to teach the new field investigators about witness psychology, about misinterpretations. I give a lecture that is 2.5 hours long, just about what you can see in the sky and misinterpret. So, you must do your homework, and you don't do that easily. You have to do that during the years and you have to visit quite a lot of people. You have to deal with the witnesses eye to eye.
Yeah.
And after that, you're learning this subject.
Well, have you ever thought about emigrating to the United States and becoming a voice of reason within the field of UFOs here in the U.S.? Because we could use that kind of approach that you're preaching to the choir here at the Paracast. We're not a true believer crowd. We really, you know, extraordinary claims require at least a little bit of evidence, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I must say it's quite refreshing to have somebody on the show that really champions a sober, grounded, objective approach to this mystery. And I applaud your efforts. And I'm one of the reasons why I thought it was a great idea to have you on the show is to present to our audience, you know, the way that an approach can be taken that doesn't have to involve believing in aliens, believing in this, believing in that. It's like, let's look at the data. Let's ascertain to the best of our abilities what's going on. And I really, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm butt-kissing, as some of our listeners would say. But no, this is really refreshing. And thank you so much for taking that particular approach. I think it's important.
And one of the things that we are trying to do to help others to do the same is the Archives for the Unexplained, which we have built in 1973. And it's a depository of knowledge, which everyone who is interested into the paranormal in a very wide meaning can use. We had a history professor from Penn State University sitting for 1 week at the Archives this summer, as he did the summer before. Because he doesn't have to travel any other place in the world, because everything is there. I mean, we have 5,500 square feet of localities, and it's 1.4 miles of shelves with books and documents and everything you can imagine. And this is for you to use. It's for the researchers to use, for the believers, for the skeptics, for anyone who's interested in the subject.
Wish that was in my backyard. I really do.
Well, all right, we're just looking at the various solutions here. And we mentioned something internal. Are we dealing here with something that is akin to a psychic experience but manifests itself as a UFO because of our pop culture? That's another theory that is certainly entertained by some.
I mean, you have to think along those lines sometimes, because you can see very easily that people are interpreting what they see in the heavens from the very social context they are living in. If you look back on the 1896-1897 airship wave, which you mentioned before in the program, people didn't see any crafts at all, but just lights in the sky. But when they draw them, when they told about them, they were drawing elongated objects with small or large wings flapping, flying like a bird.
I wanted to clarify that. That's really something very interesting here. Okay, so they're only seeing lights in the sky.
Yeah.
But from the eyes to the brain to the hand to write it down,
yeah,
it becomes an airship.
Yeah, because that was the only thing that could fly. I mean, they couldn't really imagine anything else that could fly. And those lights in the sky, they thought at least, were flying around up there. And the next big wave in Scandinavia was the ghost flyer in the 1930s, when people saw mostly, I read, I think, a couple of thousand reports from the 1930s, they saw lights in the sky as well. But they thought they were aircraft, because aircraft was the top-notch thing to see at that time. And during the World War II, people in those bombers over Germany or any other theater, they saw those Foo Fighters following their aircraft, and they thought they were top-notch military craft from Nazi Germany following the aircraft. And then came the ghost rockets, like the V-bombs, in a new way, much stranger way. I mean, you must realize that this is also something that you must have in mind when you are trying to decipher this mystery.
So what we see is not what we're getting. So
no.
We think maybe even the ghost rockets are just lights in the sky, but interpreted as aircraft?
Could be. could be.
Well, there were a lot of really good daylight sightings, including some photographs that were taken that would suggest something ballistic, something more conventional. As Klaus mentioned, there were sounds equating the witnesses with the objects. There were contrails.
Well, I understand. I grant that there is a physical perception. But the question, of course, is that physical perception real or something imagined to fill out the details? Well, if it's an airship, maybe there's going to be a noise.
Yeah, I'm usually thinking along those lines. When it comes to those ghost rockets, those crashes were seen by 20, 30 people around the lake. They heard the sound, they saw the thing, they saw the splash, they heard the crash, they saw the debris on the shore, I mean stones and mud and things like that. So it's one step ahead, away from just being in the mind. So that makes the ghost rockets a little more interesting to me.
And that's why I think that the ghost rocket wave may be the most important wave of activity in the history of modern ufology, because it predates the whole flying saucer craze that ensued during the summer of 47. I think it's important for people to understand that we're dealing with physical objects that are, like you say, they're making sounds, they're splashing, they're leaving behind debris. Now, what sort of analysis was done on some of this debris? Do we have any sort of meteorological tests or any sort of science that was brought to bear on this?
The military got quite a few samples sent from people all around Sweden, and nothing of it was anything connected to the ghost rockets themselves. It was many other things, just ordinary stones and minerals and debris and other debris. But what we are trying to find up in this lake up in Namajar, if I could go to that, in 1980, on July the 31st, two people in broad daylight are walking up in this area of the national park. They hear a sound. They look to the south, and they see this ghost rocket with small wings coming flying less than 100 yards over them.
You know, that's a good place for the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's have the cliffhanger and figure out what this thing 100 yards away was. We have Klaus Fahn with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you love.